like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, cause it's too dark.
We agree with Ella Fitzgerald, the First Lady of Song. It is too darn hot, which is also the name of our series where we find ways to cool off. And today, we're filling and refilling our cup with Jerry Slater. He's the former owner of H. Harper Station and co-author of the forthcoming Southern Foodways Alliance Guide to Cocktails. Jerry Slater, welcome back to City Lights.
Oh, so glad to be here.
Oh, well, you know, I'll always think of you as the person with whom we ushered in 2017, because you were here New Year's Eve teaching us how to drink champagne properly.
All those sparkling cocktails, those are my favorites.
Well, your sparkling personality is here to tell us about summer cocktails. So when you are programming a Southern cocktail menu, what are the things you look for?
Well, you know, when it's hot outside, I think people think of more clear spirits. When it's fall and winter, you know, bourbon, dark rum, these things kind of come into play. But right now it's, you know, I want something lighter. I want something sparkling. I want something refreshing. So the first one we have is actually a vodka cocktail. Now, fancy mixologists, sometimes we get the reputation that we look down on vodka or something, but a lot of people love vodka, you know, and I'm of the idea that, you know, drink what you like. If you trust me to make a Cosmopolitan, you'll trust me to make a Gin Aviation, and then we can go from there and do fancy things. So our friends in Mississippi, Cathead, make a good vodka in the South here. It's kind of corn-based. And so we've got just a light, refreshing drink I created some years ago. Sometimes I go in the kitchen and look for inspiration. So grapefruit and rosemary are a nice combination that folks don't think about all the time. So the Ruby Slipper, as we call it, is vodka, grapefruit, and a little bit of rosemary syrup. So we're going to take that, and this is the sound of Friday right here. And we're just going to top that, pour that in here, and then top it off with a little bit of soda water.
It's a pretty color.
I remember we like pink drinks here in the studio.
What a memory. What a memory.
Yeah, so we give that a little stir afterwards.
That is the longest stir I've ever seen. What is that for, people like over 6 foot five?
Yeah, it's for tall glasses.
Okay.
And we just added a little soda water. I like this. I've been drinking a lot of Topo Chico, this mineral water from Mexico, through the summer. And so we just topped that off a little bit, give it some bubbles.
That was the little mouse on the Ed Sullivan show, the little Italian mouse. Oh, that was Topo Gigio. What is this?
This is Topo Chico.
Topo Chico, okay.
Yeah.
Cheers. The Ruby Slipper.
Ruby Slipper.
I do not think that tapping this will take you back to Dorothy's home in Kansas, though.
It might take you somewhere if you have too many.
It's heavenly.
And for radio, we could just imagine that there's a nice fresh rosemary sprig in that glass. So.
I thought there was. And then all it took was one sip. You're talking about vodka, Jerry. Why is it for something that is odorless and colorless and really can be made anywhere, why is it that there are all these very expensive versions available?
I think a shorter, you know, I don't want to be too snarky. I think brands are good at marketing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, maybe the ingredients are more expensive. There's one I particularly like. It's sort of funny. I'm more known as a whiskey guy. But,
me too.
There's one on the market. Absolute makes one called Elix, which their story is like one farmer, one type of heirloom grain, one copper distill, you know, and so maybe it's more expensive to make it. I'm not sure. But, you know, that particular one seems very smooth to me. And I think of vodka as kind of the blank palette. You know, you can add things to it. And, you know, what do you want to push flavors, you know, just to provide the alcohol? So it's kind of a blank canvas in that way.
You got the buzz factor and add your lime juice for the gimlet or whatever else.
Yeah, and you know, I think with the mixology, you know, in kind of quotation marks movement, there was a little backlash against vodka. But I think that's because, you know, vodka didn't even enter the country until around the mid-40s after World War II. And so when... us cocktail nerds go back and look at historic books and pre-prohibition recipes. There's no vodka in those books.
Well, it's very funny that it was after World War II because that's just when the Cold War was heating up. And, you know, you'd think...
Yeah, but some of our soldiers had a taste of that in, you know, Eastern Europe and Russia. And, you know, so then trade lines were opened. And so, you know, it's funny that we got the flavored version, gin, first, but, you know, it came to us late. And so as a historical, you know, moniker, it's not in those history books that, you know, cocktail geeks like.
Oh, that's why we need to read your forthcoming book.
The recipe for that first cocktail is in there.
Okay. The second cocktail has watermelon. I mean, the quintessential Southern and summer fruit.
So when I was juicing this morning in the kitchen, my wife informed me that watermelon's about 90% water. The fiber barely holds it together in the middle. So, you know, you're getting a lot of refreshment out of this. I added a little bit of lime juice and a little bit of sugar just to make it pop. A little bit of salt, too. I think salt, you know, it kind of brings it to the forefront, the flavor a little bit.
And that is a beautiful color.
So we're just going to pour some of this in here. And I've got a spirit. You could really do this with a white rum. You could do it with a Blanco tequila. We've got something called cachaça. It's a rum distillate from Brazil. Some people call it Brazilian rum, but I think it really deserves its own category. It's, you know, top 10 spirit in the world consumed. Brazil's a big place, but we don't see it as much here in America.
So what, you don't call it a rum?
I just call it cachaça.
Ah.
And so we add this.
Wait, but that's from sugar cane, right?
Yes.
So I should prepare my palate for a very sweet drink?
Not so much. It's dry. It's got a little grassiness. You know, sugar cane's a grass, so I feel like I get a little bit of that.
You get a little of the rainforest.
Right, a little greenness in there. Give this a try and see what you think.
I think the color is beautiful. Wow, that's interesting. I mean, you can taste the fact that, you know, watermelon is related to squash, and it's certainly heavier than the ruby slipper.
Yeah.
But very refreshing.
Yeah, it's interesting how that grassiness brings out the vegetal in the watermelon as well, right?
So, yeah.
The last thing I wanted to do for you is something maybe a little more sophisticated. There's a great renaissance of Italian spritz culture happening. For those that don't want something quite as sweet, maybe your tastes go toward bitter. I brought in what we'll call maybe a sparkling Negroni. Negronis are having a renaissance, I feel like. And
is Campari in that category?
It is. And
my husband loves that. The first time I tasted it,
it's so bitter. It's shocking, right?
Whoa, yes. And all those Europeans, you know, like in the 1950s French movies, you know, they're just sipping. And how do they do that?
Yeah, you're like, and they're smug about it. So
yes.
we're gonna lighten it up a little bit. My friends in... South Carolina, Charleston, make this high wire gin. And so we're going to add a little bit of gin to this. The other ingredients naturally in a Negroni are the bitter element. This is Gran Classico, which falls into, you know, that category of Campari or Aperol.
Aperol? That sounds like for attention deficit.
Exactly. No. Well, it might help you, you know.
This drink will help you focus.
Yeah, pay attention. So the classic ingredients, this is a cocktail that's so easy to make because it's just 1 ounce of each of those three ingredients. I added a little sweet vermouth as the last part. And then put a little ice in here. And then for summertime, a lot of times in Italy, sparkling wine will be the addition to this. Maybe you take the gin out and you add Prosecco. Mm-hmm. We added all the ingredients of a Negroni, but we're going to add some of that mineral water again, something a little light and bubbly and sparkling.
The Topo Gigio.
Because we want to kind of extend that. We want to sit by the pool a little bit longer. We want to have that conversation as the sun's going down just a little bit more.
Okay. This does not look a whole lot different from whiskey.
It does have that kind of color, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty amber topaz, if you will. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see where that would be summery. I noticed rosé seems to go well with summer, and people are drinking rosé. I mean, rosé like completely disappeared for a while, didn't
it? Yeah, I think there was, people were a little afraid. White Zinfandel got so popular in the 80s, and it was sweet, and, you know, classic rosé is dry and refreshing, and I remember about 15 years ago reading an Esquire article that said, "Are you man enough to drink pink?" You know, talking about the rosés coming back. And I sort of chuckled at that. And but yeah, it really is having a great renaissance right now. And it is kind of, you know, the color is just from a tiny bit of skin contact. So you're getting just a little more flavor than a white wine, maybe, and light and crisp and refreshing. People are making frozen rosé out of it, frosé.
Frosé, very good. Jerry Slater, it was so much fun ushering in the new year with you and these refreshing summer cocktails along with your refreshing information. I mean, this book, this forthcoming book on cocktails is just chock full of food anthropology and all kinds of good stuff.
Oh, thank you.
And Jerry Slater co-authored that forthcoming Southern Foodways Lion's Guide to Cocktails. Thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
Cheers to you.